You're listening to...
'16-90. Welcome back to another episode of The Come Up. I'm your host, the white boy with sauce, bro. How y'all feeling tonight, man? It's getting pretty warm outside. It's about time, because you know what? It's been freezing as hell, and I'm tired of this winter. It's been going on for way too long, and I just want it to be over with. But no, it's not about that tonight. Tonight, we have a very different episode compared to what we usually have. Obviously, we're going to start off with our three new songs that we always premiere, but tonight we have the absolute honor of having our very first movie director right here with us in the station. Before we get into that, we're gonna play three new songs. The first one is called 4x4 by Akai. Then the second one is gonna be called Bad Apple by Marlo and Sharia J. Now Sharia J has been a very close friend of ours for a minute now. She's always been supporting. Shout out to her. It's going to be awesome. And also, Marlo's going to be on the show very soon in September. Actually, that's not very soon. I don't know why I said that. But he's going to be on the show soon. Hopefully, too, for Shreya. It's going to be awesome. Next up, we have Saint Laurent Murder by Bad Kenny. Because you know what, bro? He's been pulling out hits after hits after hits. I cannot wait to have him on the show. He's always been supporting. Love that man, bro. He's always awesome. Shout out to him. So I can't wait to get into it. So you know what? We're going to start off with 4x4 by Akai. And then after that, we're going to make our way through the new songs. And after that, we're going to have our exclusive interview with our very first movie director. I hope you're excited, because I'm excited. It's going to be awesome. What a great way to start off this new heat wave. Hopefully it doesn't snow anytime soon. So let's get it. 69 The Come Up. This is 4x4 by Akai. Let's get it.
Yo, Sam.
This is Petro Game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pocket bills on my press, I'm bankrupt. Walk out to Halo, boy, that troll. Stay on some lane, bitch, gun it on hold. Round around town on a 4x4. Yeah, shit's trash, so bitch, I want more. End up the head, yeah, don't you all fall. My jelly me kicks, now I drop out the force. I try go fries on a drop top porch. Sick of my makey, she pops in course. My fire heart, now she pops in course. My fire heart, now she pops in white. My fire heart, now she pops in change. Just to get broke, she's bankrupt to change. The guy on the good, no job for legs, I change. That's gonna check, smoke up our range. Buzz down, send it out. Rolling plain Jane. J'en ai la musique, non, je veux pas le fame. Dans mon propre place, je fais le shit comme fame. Je vais laisser ma trace, laisser ma stain. J'suis avec une baddie, elle veut me check his brain. C'est moi une pro, check ma vague, on insane. J'suis avec ta bitch, j'fais crier mon name. J'suis avec ta bitch, j'fais crier mon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pack his bills, on m'impresse, c'est un bankroll. Pourquoi tu hello, boy, t'es un troll. Stay dans ton lane, bitch, connais ton rôle. Round around town, dans le 4x4. Yeah, j'vais te cash, so bitch, I want more. End of the head, yeah, down to all fours. My jelly me kicks, now I drop out the force. I try go fries on a drop top porch. Sick of my make it, she pops in course. My boy, heart, now she pops in course. New Year, same, he says, why Vivi. Walk down the stores, my cuts, Valency. Stack on bitch, got thoughts, shall I roll me. Zoom back, be wrong, be with me. Check my trust, be me. Big body, rack, SUV. Yeah, non, t'as pas la vision, non, tu peux pas si. Je vais mettre une babiche dans du double C. Tellement dur, je pourrais ramper la scie. Yeah, je fais du ski, mais je fais pas de la scie. Pas de snow, mais mon cuir est icy. Pas de snow, mais mon cuir. Yeah, yeah. Pocket bills, on m'impresse, c'est un bankroll. Pourquoi tu hello, boy, t'es un troll. Stay dans ton lane, bitch, connais ton rôle. Round around town, dans le 4x4. Yeah, je vais te trash, so bitch, I want more. End up the head, yeah, down to all fours. Kicks now, drop out the force. I try go fries on a drop top porch. Sick of my make it, she pops in course. My vital heart knows she pops in course.
Thank you.
1690, that was Saint Laurent Murder by Bad Kenny. Oh my god, yo. Shit, I didn't know you can hit those notes like that. Shit, Kenny. Damn, I can't wait to have him on the show. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be lit. But tonight, guys, tonight is the episode where we shake things up a bit. Tonight we have our very first movie director. His name is Noah Trentadue. I got that right?
Yes, you did, sir. Yes, you did.
Yes, I did, man. So welcome to the Come Up. How are you feeling?
I mean, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you to the Come Up, to everyone behind it, just like inviting me on, Mateo, like just for the sake of getting me on here. I mean, I've been so excited. I've been listening into the show on Friday nights, and I'm finally happy that, you know, I can have this segment and be a part of it. So first and foremost, I just want to extend sincere thank yous.
Yo.
But I think we're feeling great, man. I mean, it's like you said before, it's starting to get warm. We're hyped. We're, you know, like, I think everything's looking bright. The sun is out.
It's finally
Now it's 10 p.m., but it was. And so, I'm just happy to be here and excited to kind of get to it.
I'm super excited, bro. Honestly, bro, we've been friends for a minute. I think this was destined to happen. We've crossed paths this summer. We're gonna get more into that after, though.
Oh,
ooh, but okay. So let's get into it, shall we? So tell the viewers who you are. Who is Noah Trentadue?
So first of all, yeah. So my name is Noah Trentadue. I'm a filmmaker, film producer, and I've been working in the media industry as a whole for, I'd say, the past like 5 years, just kind of like honing my craft, getting a good sense of like the type of art that I'm into. I think I'd like to think that I'm a very like community driven artist, where like I love sort of the gathering the people in the work that you do, because I think it just kind of makes your work perhaps more meaningful and more mature and interesting for others, because at the end of the day, you know, art is for everyone. So I'd like to say that's the approach I take to it. I'm also partly a student at Concordia, finishing up finals now. You know, there is like a real like Peter Parker side to me, obviously.
I feel you on that one.
But yeah, so yeah, I'd like to say that's like a pretty good like one line resume as to who I am. And
that was perfect, too, yeah. For real. That was honestly really good. You summed it up, like, very good.
Thank you.
So, what are your projects that you've been working on? Like, is there anything anyone has ever seen before that's been released?
Yeah, so in terms of, like, what's released, I would say the most recent piece of media that's been released as far as cinema's concerned, because obviously there's some commercial work that I'll do here and there for the sake of, you know, just kind of getting familiar. You know, I'm also it's part of my first years in the industry, so I'm kind of getting a feel of, like, am I more in for the commercial, for the cinema side of things? And I think right now I'm balancing it all. But in terms of newly released cinema things, which is where I most lean towards, back in January, I released my longest, piece of my longest short film to date, which lasts, I think it's about 18 minutes. It's available through my YouTube account, N32 Productions, and it's called When Love Stood Still. So it's basically like a romance short film that I've been working on for the past 2 years. And I had a lot of fun doing that. It was a very good learning experience, both as much as like the content itself and like maturing as a filmmaker, but then also like gathering a community around me to help that done, which, you know, I'm sure we're going to get into it later, but with like other projects that have come since then, right? And like what I've been working on. So that is the newest thing you can probably access of mine, and it would be found through my YouTube channel. Yeah, well, you'll also find some other fun audiovisual essays. Like I'll just post some random media, right? Like often, and I think it's stuff that people would really enjoy.
That's really cool. So you'll make the occasional cameo somewhere.
Yeah,
like that. We'll just find you randomly on the internet, and honestly, I think that's really cool. You just see the before the fame type stuff. You know?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm really like, obviously, like, I would love for some of these things to get dug up in the future, you know?
Where before like, he was famous.
Yeah, like, what is this, you know? Like, this guy was making this back in, like, I don't know, 2023. It's like, what's going on, you know? But I don't know. I long for that day.
It's going to happen, bro, soon, very soon. Because you know what? You got your biggest project to date, bro. This summer, guys, I posted on my account that I was on the set of a movie. This movie was made by none other than the great Noah. Can you tell us about what this movie was?
Yeah, so it's actually still it's still in the works, but I can obviously talk about it, and I'd love to be able to talk about it. I mean, first and foremost, the film is titled Laval le Film. That's the name of it, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory once I give you the title.
What's it about?
Yeah, no, so that's joking. So no, but like that reaction is precisely like kind of what we're going for with this, where it's like we wanted to make it seem so on the nose that it gets you interested, because obviously, like, there's a, like, I think there's something to, like, I had, it ties into actually what I said before with the whole community movies and all these things where, you know, we're growing up in local culture right now, both in the greater Montreal region, whether it be Montreal, Laval, Longueuil, you name it. I think, like, the come up is also about that, about, like, artists,
100%.
Like, on a little bit of a smaller local scene, but in a very wholesome way. And I think the film is almost like it emulates that same kind of spirit, but for a movie. And essentially the film, if I had to describe it in like just a couple sentences, I would say it's a comedy mockumentary where we follow three young adults. So they're maybe like 17 to 19. It's like this group of friends. And so it's summertime, school is out, we're bored, we have nothing to do, right? They're just riding their bikes out in Laval, and they're like the suburbs, right? Like, and they're like, what do we do with our summer? And they're like, oh, like one of them has a movie ambition. So he's like, why don't we shoot a documentary about Laval? And the whole idea is like, we follow them throughout the summer as there's a bunch of, like, you know, like, financiers get involved and the project gets corrupted. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's, like, all these little, like, elements that start showing up. Different people of the community get involved in their movie, and it affects it in different ways. And it's really, like, this character-driven story about both growing up in a place that is, you know, suburban and kind of, like, coming into its own. But it's also about even, like, the local region of Laval itself and how, like, I'm personally from there. And so I remember when I was little, my dad would take me, like, on a bicycle, and we'd go, like, throughout all of Laval, because it's not necessarily the biggest of places. And I remember it was just barren. There was, like, fields everywhere. There was nothing. There were, like, skunks. Like, it was like, what's going on here, you know? And now, you know, 22 years later, I find myself, you know, going to the metro to go to school and this and that. And I can see just, like, rising infrastructure. There's so many more people. Like, if you look at the statistics, it's going to be the second most populated city, like, just behind Montreal, which is, like, a humongous city, yeah. Right? Like, it's, like, just huge. Métropole, right? But, yeah, Laval is kind of, like, coming into its own. I think the idea is that, like, in 22 years from now, right, you double this down, what is it going to look like then? It's going to be really its own entity and its own thing, and it will be detached from a bit of the shadow of what is Montreal. There's also a bit of, like, the Laval shade, right, that, like, kind of gets thrown around, which is also, like, ironically a good thing, right? Because 100%. Like those are the people that will eventually be like interested to watch this movie, and like the on top of the local community, and like I just love everything about that. 100%. So
because you know what, as I'm also from Laval, and you know what, the shade, everything that people say about it, I'm not saying that it's real. Okay, no, Clara in the background saying it's real. Oh, you, she's a Laval hater. Is Meek? Oh, okay, no, even Mika's a Laval hater. Guess who's walking home tonight? I'm joking.
Yeah, no, so...
It's Laval versus Montreal over here, bros.
Yeah, so it's not even about creating that kind of thing. It's just, like, it's just interesting because it's, like, it gives an opportunity to finally not only, shine a light on, like, what the city is and the different, like, cultural charms that you can find there, but also tell it within, like, a format and a story that is, like, enjoyable, fun. You know, at the end of the day, like, it's a suburban place, so there's a lot of families that live there. There's a lot of, like, young people that are there as well, and so...
It's very diverse, too.
It's a very diverse place as well in terms of cultures, and I think the movie reflects that with all, like, the voices that we bring in, whether it be, like, you know, we worked with both, like, political activists in the region, we work with local businesses, farmers, like, you name it, the, even just, like, you know, the older people of the community, you name it, like, it's really, like, it's this thing that groups up a bunch of different people and a bunch of different voices, and converges them all within one, like, very digestible, fun story that you can watch with your friends, your family, you name it. And it's, I'm looking forward to bringing it to a screen near you.
I'm excited. When can we almost be able to see it? Like, is it almost done?
Look, I don't know how much I can talk about, like, straight timeline, but what I can say is that in terms of projections, our goal is for summer 2027. So that's, like, the summer, not coming now, but the one following after. That the idea is to have the film distributed on professional broadcasting networks, so whether it be Télé-Québec, which through the actors that worked with us, you know, have some connections, Radio-Canada, we've had a couple interviews with them, so they have some interest, a bunch of different, like, places like that, you know, whether it be streaming or on, like, television, or else there's also even, like, there's the thing is, it's very varied, because then you could do a bunch of different things where even, like, the city of Laval itself, like, the entity of the city, can take part in the film and use it as their own IP, and you know, we can move about it in many different ways. But yeah. In terms of where, that's the golden question, right? And in order to know where, we have to first start by finishing it. And so right now our team is working in post-production to get this done and deliver the best product possible. And I'm actually, like, due to receive a couple cuts, like, next week. So I'm, like,
ooh,
I'm, like, excited.
That's going to be really cool. Yeah. So this is, like, your real directorial debut. Did you also write it?
Yeah, so the film is co-written with the lead actress, whose name is Amelia Zian. And she actually is also the main actress for When Love Stood Still, whom I spoke previously. And it goes to show, like I was saying earlier, like, a lot of the people that helped me work on When Love Stood Still and other various projects find themselves, you know, the way I was kind of talking to it during the production was like, I'm basically assembling the Avengers for this yeah. the film project, where it's like everyone that has come in
I'm putting
will
together a team.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, including the come up to some extent, right? Yeah. Because, like, they were there. I mean, like, there's a couple of scenes where there you find, you know, the
I'm actually
up.
Wearing the exact same fit that I
yeah.
actually showed up
I mean,
in the camera.
No,
with.
That's wrong. You're
I
missing
the cowboy hat.
There's a, if you find, okay, here, okay, here's, like, your Where's Waldo, okay, when you watch Laval Le Film, if you find someone with a cowboy hat, that is the come up representation right there.
Dude, that is me. I wanted to say, like, yo, I am in this movie. Yeah. I'm like, I needed to find myself. And, because I feel like if I just had a buzz cut, that no one would have known, like, who I was. But yo, if I can show up in a cowboy hat,
it gives some character.
In Laval,
I loved every minute of it.
Thank
yeah.
you, bro.
I love every minute of it. I'm there for it, so.
Bro, and we're there for you, bro. And that's what made that day so special. I remember just, like, practicing, okay, how do I walk?
That was, like, the most stressful day. That was the, you know, you were there on the first day of shooting. So yeah. it was, like, everyone was kind of getting into a groove. And, like, you know, we've had 22 days after that, like, almost in a Damn. Row, which was, like, crazy, right? Like, shout out everyone who was there, right? It was a very wild ride. But that first day was really just something special and, like, something I'm honestly, like, beyond over the moon for.
And grateful. It was a great day.
I mean, yeah, it went so smoothly. It was one of those, like, we like to call them hell days, where we were, like, it was, like, we were there for like 13 hours. Like, it was a long day in the sun, but I mean, you know, we had some good food.
There was great food.
Yeah, there was great food catered, and it was like we had, you know, a nice setup, and I was just like really grateful for everyone who was there and was able to give time to it. So,
dude, I want to tell you this personally, but I never had a chance. Remember that there was like a whole like catering of just like goldfish?
Oh, yes, that was the Costco run.
I think I had like half of that.
Dude, and you don't want to know something? You may say you had half of it. It lasted us the entire month. We had like, shout out Costco. Yeah, no, but like we had to buy like many packs, but I mean like goldfish essentially got La Valle Fim delivered. Like it was like one of those snacks that everyone kept going towards. Like nobody wanted the healthy like Barton stuff. Like it was all like, nah, guys, yeah. Even I wanted the goldfish, guys. Like,
it was so good for no reason.
They're amazing. They bring me right back to my childhood. So
that, and there was also like, Welch's.
Don't even get me started. I should have brought some today. We could have like, I don't
could have shared.
Yeah, I gotten a couple in.
Held some
know?
Hands, you know. Nah, but yo, tell you what, we're gonna go to a quick little ad break, and then we're gonna talk more about this feature film, bro. I'm super excited to know more about what you can tell us about this film. Because honestly, man, I'm super stoked to hear about this.
I'm excited to tell you.
So yo, we'll be right back, yo. Stay tuned. More on the come up very soon.
If you're interested in audio storytelling at all, volunteer with CJLO's news department. We'll teach you the ins and outs of audio journalism, no experience needed. You'll learn interviewing, scripting, recording, editing, and we'll support you every step of the way on your journey to producing your own original reporting. We also take a lot of pride in our local focus and coverage of the issues often forgotten by mainstream outlets. Join the team and get your voice on air by filling out a volunteer application form at cjlo.com/volunteer. Or come to one of our weekly pitch meetings, Mondays at 1 p.m. on the Loyola campus, CC 430.
From Halifax basements to Newfoundland kitchens, Atlantic Canada has always punched above its weight. Tune in every other Sunday at 8, Montreal time, for Eastern Promises, celebrating the exceptional music of the Maritimes and Newfoundland and Labrador. Join me, Donald Roberge, for new discoveries, music news and interviews, and to hear everything from traditional and Acadian sounds to indie, metal, hip-hop, and more. That's Eastern Promises, every other Sunday at 8, on CJLO 1690 AM and at cjlo.com.
Salut, c'est K.O.
Et Léo.
Ce groupe Bless.
Vous écoutez CJLO.
Ciao.
Yeah, we back at it again, 1690. That was a quick little ad break from what we were just talking about. So let's talk more about this feature film, shall we? So we were talking about this location. Where did you film? Were all the places filmed in Laval?
Well.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Yes. So here's the thing. Like, I would say a good portion of, like, nine, like, at least like 95% of it, right, is entirely Fair. Filmed in Laval, and everything that is like location driven in terms of like outdoor places, cultural charms, like whatever on location shooting was all done in Laval. But I must admit, sometimes like we are Concordia students, right, that kind of put this thing together, majority, and so a lot of like some stuff that wasn't done in Laval was simply like facilitated because of you know, the different partnerships that we had that sometimes we're not in Laval, whether we like it or not. You know, it just made more sense to kind of do it that way. But that, I don't think it removes from, like, you can basically say it was filmed entirely in Laval because it kind of was,
yeah,
right? It's just the sake of, like, when you have closed studios or, you know, these types of spaces that aren't really, like, representative of any city per se. It's more about, and then it's just a question of the characters reflecting that as well, kind of that spirit. So that's my answer to that.
And in a lot of ways, I feel like Laval too. Like you can film in Rosemary and say it's in Laval, and no one would ever notice. Because I feel like Laval is such a mix of like suburban and country. Is maybe where I am, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say my address, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Duvernay, basically, but. It's a good mix. So I feel like no one would really notice, too, unless there's, like, that one person's like...
I think there's different, like... I think it's a good blend, right? Like, because I think there's certain, like, places. Let's say, like, Centropolis, right? That's something that, like, 95% of people are going to be able to recognize and be like, oh, I've been there at least once, like, to dine with my family or with friends or God knows. You know, what's something else? Le Centre de la Nature. Those are like landmarks that you'd say are perhaps recognizable, right? But even like, let's say, Le Berlingot, which is a great ice cream shop in the Vieux Saint-Rose.
Yeah.
Right? That these are like, yeah, see? Like, you've been there. So these are like different places that are like kind of representative of the space. And that obviously were like willing to welcome us in all of this for like a days of shooting. And I think it was just, yeah, it kind of just, it made its way in. I forget exactly what your question was, but it,
We're yeah. talking about just like Laval, just like being...
How
like
recognizable it is. Yeah, I think like, but I think that's the important part is to show, yes, those popular places, but then also kind of shine light on like, there are certain places that really look like, you know, the Cat in the Hat, like houses are just like everywhere, like yeah. it's like, what's going on? But like, that's kind of what it is, right? It's a residential spot, so it was important for us to really like capture the many different facets of like what is Laval. That is the if I have to give a thesis for this movie, and it's also the thesis that the characters, when they go on and do their own documentary in the film, right, as part of the fiction, the thesis that they give to it, which is also our thesis, is what is the Laval identity? C'est quoi l'identité lavalloise? Like, that is basically what we're trying to explore, and I don't think there really is an answer, but I think we definitely propose elements.
An opinion of what it could be. Or
not even an opinion. It's just like objectively showing what there is and what the people are saying, what they're like, and what spirit is kind of manifested from that.
100%. Honestly, because I was about to ask you that exact question. I'm like, why Laval? Because like, you could have done a movie on like, shit, Terrebonne. And just show like rednecks for like 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it just been funny as hell.
Well, if really you want to know why Laval, like actually, well, first and foremost, like I said, I'm from Laval, but I have to be honest when I say the original idea isn't like myself. Like I was originally like approached with this idea from a nonprofit by the name of Média Communautaire Lavallois, who are actually my co-producers in this. So we work, you know, on equal part to make this movie happen and produce it as the main executives. And so they are a nonprofit that focuses on basically bringing Laval news and everything Laval, basically. And the idea is that they kind of wanted to... Right now, they're very big in terms of news and newspaper and all these different things. And they have a couple of tens of thousands of readers per month. But they kind of wanted to branch out and expand into more media and production as far as visual. And so they were looking to make this Laval movie. And the title actually comes from them and from the representative from there, Alberto, that I work with. Was, you know, a good friend of mine at this
point. Shout out to him. Yeah.
Shout out, Alberto. And so the idea was originally proposed to me from there. And then basically my job was to take the idea and kind of like reshape it into something that perhaps everyone is looking for you know, take my experience within the media industry to kind of like push this in equal parts. So that's kind of like why Laval happened and kind of the origin. So the I give credit to them on like the first way this happened.
Honestly, I think that's pretty cool. But let me ask you this little personal question. What does Laval mean to you personally?
Well, Laval means home, right?
100%.
Laval means home. It does. I live there. I've lived there practically all my life. It's where I've, you know, clearly made my most comprehensive media piece yet. It's where I've been able to, you know, share so many beautiful memories, both of my friends, my family. And it's where I return to at the end of the day, you know, like when I finish class, when I finish work, where do I drive home to? I drive back to my home in Laval and it's and I'm happy to be there. You know, I've come to embrace the qualities of what is that city and perhaps someday life will take me elsewhere, but for now, my heart lives there.
I like that. And honestly, like, is that something that, like, is also explored throughout the film as well?
I would say so. I mean, the characters are, you know, actually just within the city at all times. Like, it's kind of like, it's the frame of where we are. They don't even, like, explore into Montreal. I think we get a peek of Montreal, like, on, like, drone shots and stuff. You can kind of start to see the Olympic Stadium far away. So it kind of, like...
You got drone shots? That's sick.
Yeah, we got drone shots. Damn. We got everything. It's like, that's what... To open and close the movie. And I think the drone shots are going to be... Like, it's kind of like this thing where it pulls you away from the story and then pulls you into the story
It grounds you to where...
Yeah, it's kind of like... It's like this... You know, if I could have done a drone shot over the entire Earth, like, take me on that moon mission, like, I would have. But, like, you know... But anyways, you know, so
that's really cool.
I don't know. Yeah, I would say that's how it's explored. It's explored, you know, both through the landscape, the visuals, the locations, but also the characters. I think the characters were drawn on inspirations of people we know as the co-writers, myself and my co-writer, Amelia Zian. You know, we really just base it off the people that we know and the people from there and the kind of community spirit that comes out of it, you know. Awesome. And obviously the research that we did beforehand to make sure that the movie has a certain cultural relevance. If you want, we can get into that. There's a whole
100%,
side of it.
Yes. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. So I have an entire, like, because obviously when I was approached with the project, I was like, okay, like, cool. But, like, who's to say that this needs to happen, right? Like, I sure, it's fun to do, but what part of this is actually, like, relevant as far as culturally and it would get people to watch it? And so we started doing some, like, market research. At the end of the day, you know, the film industry is an industry. So we were looking into it. And, you know, we quickly discovered that, like, out of – the movie's in French, by the way. Like, it's fully, like franglais, but also – it has to majoritively be French, simply for the fact of, like, you know, getting it on broadcasting networks and this and that. They're very strict about language, obviously.
Damn.
But there is, you know, I am also an Anglophone at heart, so it shines through at times, and I've had to be, like, slapped on my fingers. But my point is, basically, we discovered that 88.5% of, according to Statistics Quebec, 88.5% of kids, or I would say young adults or whatever, young people between the ages of 12 to 25 simply either watch very little or no Quebec content, like French Quebec content, which is, you know, inherently a bit of a problem. Like, we live in the province of Quebec. There's a certain element of, like, this is our local culture, and these are, like, elements that are very proper to us, and it's not like the big bad Americans on the other side of the pond that are giving us our content, right? But that's the majority of what people are watching nowadays. So that's, like, a cultural problem. And then in parallel to that, it's something like $1.2 to $1.4 billion over, like, the past year has been, in terms of funding, that has been completely cut from Quebec audiovisual productions. And so when you put those two, also according to Statistics Quebec, right, all these statistics are within the past year or two. And when you put those two, like, elements in dialogue, you start to realize, like, not only are we losing the capacity to make content, like, locally, from here, for here, you know, for the people, for the Quebec, from Quebecers for Quebecers, but we're also losing the Quebecers' interest in that very media. So we have, like, this parallel problem where, like, both the audience and the content is, like, slowly but surely disappearing and being given to these bigger, perhaps more funded, you know, sort of projects. And that is also kind of, like, mirrored in the story, and I won't spoil it, but let's just say that that process is even, like, almost literally
explained throughout the film.
Yeah, not explained, but they live it, right? Like, they're actually living in that reality, right? So it was important for us to kind of include that. And so then your question, okay, now you're saying, Noah, these are all problems. Like, this sounds very grim, and I want to, like, I don't know, eat ice cream and cry in my bed. But
now, you know, nah. What? It's very similar to what's happening with the radio,
yeah,
and with the artists, too. Yeah. Local artists right now, not a lot of people are recognized throughout Montreal in general.
Yeah.
Ottawa, it's a different thing. It's mostly, like, it's getting there. It's kind of, like, in the same boat as Montreal, where, like, everyone knows each other. Everyone knows that they make great music. But right now, everyone's being overshadowed by, well, Toronto, because it's just, you know, Drake and R&B and whatnot. But also a lot by the States.
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to, like, really make a name for yourself. It's also hard to get people's attention locally. Because you can get people's attention throughout, like, other people. Like, let's say if you make a movie for directors, and the directors are going to watch that movie. But it's hard to appeal towards everyone else.
Well, that's it's actually funny you mentioned that, because this is, like, part of our, like, okay, so we understood this problem, and then we were like, how do we go about countering this problem? So then we, you know, obviously did some more research, and we figured out that, you know, we figured out that according to Téléfilm Canada, which is basically, like, the larger government body that regulates, like, all Canadian films, they had done a research, and they showed that 60% of young people, same age branch as I spoke about previously, you know, 12 to 25, they're favorite genres are comedy, and they will be more inclined by like a crazy rate. Like I'm talking anywhere from like 60 to 80. I don't have the numbers on me right now in my head, but I can guarantee you it's real. Like I have it all on the document, or it's recorded, that if they see if they see their own identity being represented in some kind of way, then they will be like something like 2 to 3 times as much likely to watch it. In accordance, and in addition to like 60% of them, their favorite genres are comedy. That's how we kind of angled the film, where, you know, we're representing not only Lavalloise and the young people of the community, but also just Quebec to some extent, right? Because that kind of identity branches out to what is Quebec, since it's such a small place within the world. And I think everyone within this province can find at least a little bit of themselves within Laval Le Femme. And I think paired with the fact that it's, you know, it's just a story about growing up, coming of age, mockumentary comedy style, I think it's bound to be something people like. I think it's going to be like a little cultural thing, and hopefully we take over, you know, the province with it.
I hope so, and get, man, some eyes on it. You know what, bro? You've been working hella hard on this, bro.
Yeah.
It's been, I've seen you put blood, sweat, and tears on this, bro. You've even showed up to the homie's house to record it, bro. That was a cool day, bro.
Yeah.
We took over part of his studio, and we just put all like the set, and it was honestly just so cool in general. Like, it was just like watching you like in your element. With like even like just like even how you directed like the whole scene too. So like I guess my question to you is, what did you learn throughout this film, not just as like a director but also as like a writer as well?
So what did I learn? I would say that, okay, so I understood this right before doing the movie and on my previous projects, that like I had said, community was so important, and the people around you, choosing the people that kind of like help you get there is so important. But I don't think, like, I had never had an opportunity to this scale before. So like it really, really became that much more important for this project. And so that's why I kind of said I was assembling the Avengers, because I had to, like, the people that I called upon, obviously, like, they're so technically proficient, right? And they all have their most tremendous qualities to them. Shout out to the whole production team, Plamena, Miguel, Nam, Oscar, I give it to you guys. But I think it was the level of reliance that I think it's that element of like being able to give them things to do, actually have, you know, like a to-do stuff. And I can go to sleep at night knowing that like it's going to get done. Whereas that's actually like a very rare thing to find people that can actually get things done. I think in this day and age is like very precious.
Yeah, it's like our generation too.
It's a very precious thing. So I've been so incredibly privileged and lucky to be able to find a team that supported the project in a way that was true to it and was true to the people it's trying to serve. And that is like the best thing that I learned, is that you have to rely on your peers. And you also have to be very like diligent in who you're choosing, but you have to rely on them, and you need to be able to trust them, or else these things can't get done. Like, I simply couldn't do. There's times where I tried doing this on my own, and that's when things would fall out, right? In terms of the project. And so it was very important for me to constantly keep that community side to it. And that's also reflected in the movie in some way, and how the characters interact with each other and how they go about their own movie. So it's very like, what's the word? Like, it's meta in some sort of way, but it's also like
what happened in the
reflexive.
Movies,
that's the word. Like, it's reflexive in that way, where it looks back. Like, the story is both about, you know, community, people, but it's also about us doing the movie. Like, the hyper, like, now team behind it. And that's why in the credits of the movie, I want to put all the behind the scenes. You'll probably be featured in the credits.
Really?
Like, yeah.
No way.
Like, there's, yeah, everyone who was a part of it, like it's kind of like, we are the movie. Like, it's nice that I create all these fictional characters, but it's about a real thing that we did. Like, we shot a movie for Laval, a documentary during this hour. Like, it's us, right? It's kind of telling a story about us. So, and it's about, like, almost like a love letter to filmmaking, love letter to Laval, love letter to the community. So,
the movie that's being made is also kind of like a reflection of how the movie was actually being made.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Very meta.
There were parallels that we, like, let's say we wrote the story, between June and June 2024 and January 2025, like like the first draft was sort of being, you know, cooked, and basically, what was my point? I had forgotten my point now. But my point was that I think it was, yeah, there were situations that we wrote about in the story that didn't happen to us yet, but eventually ended up happening. It was almost like foreshadowing our own experience.
You predicted it?
Yeah, we were kind of predicting our own experience in some sort of way. Like, and I mean, like, yeah, just like the genuine like difficulties and the process that comes with filmmaking and making a movie, especially one of this nature. You know, it has its set of challenges, the same way any other like sort of project does, just to different scales. So it was actually really. It was really freaky the way things kind of like lined up in such a way, and but at the end of the day, like, it's very heartwarming.
Honestly, yeah, I think it, like, the whole, even just like production wise, it was just such a great vibe. Everyone was just on like, they were in a good mood. Everyone was super nice. Everyone was just happy to be there, and I think that's what's really important, especially with having like a good team. As long as you have people who are passionate, people who love what they're doing, like, the sky is the limit. I think it's very cool that you have.
That's
such
what every single successful person says, and it kind of makes sense. Like, it's about the people around you,
100%.
And like, they were so professional. They were so A1. Like, I cannot. I am so over the moon. Like, to this day, I'm like, you know, at the end of the production, we had thrown a little rap party for those that were there for, like, you know, like, they were there for the long run, and it was like, and I wish I could just do that, like, nonstop, because it's like, I couldn't thank them enough, and like, best believe, you know, the Come Up will have a ticket at the premiere, and everyone who was a part of it, yeah, like, there's gonna be, like, guys, like, everyone is gonna be, like, is gonna be able to see this nice when it's gonna take its time, because it has to be done right.
I'll be there.
But when it's done, it will be, we'll all have a drink.
Dude, I can't wait. Is it going to be like a whole red carpet event?
I would hope so. I mean, like, it's as far as, like, it depends on how far distribution goes, like, how all of that gets taken care of, like, legally. Like, are we allowed even to show it? Like, but there will be some sort of, like, premiere at a proper amphitheater, like, in a proper room, and there will be, like, you know.
Like, screw it, but we'll, like, do our own, like, red carpet.
Yeah, like,
premiere.
But, like, no, but we have, like, you know, like, we've had, like, sponsor, like, part of the movie, like, one of the scenes is filmed in La Salle André Mathieu, which is basically the, think of like the amphitheater, but for Collège Montmorency,
right,
which is in Laval. So, like, there's a bunch of these, like, little places that we already have partnerships with that perhaps it might work out, you know, that the premiere gets done in these sort of places that are just absolutely lovely and so welcoming to us, and or somewhere entirely new, right? You know, think of perhaps even Concordia with their amphitheaters, or God forbid, a more indie theater like you know, Cinéma du Parc or du Musée. Like, God, like, we don't really know where it's going to go because it's been so long, right? And there's a lot of work that has to get done before then. But I can guarantee you, like, on God, it will happen.
It will happen.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that soon. We're going to do one more little ad break. And after that, we're going to get into more specifics about, like, what was your inspirations for the film? What was the vibes you were going for? But, yo, stick around, yo. 6-9 to Come Up. We'll be right back after these few little messages.
The St. Lucia Cultural Association of Montreal presents Pete Douglas Calypso Hour Part 2 with Shalom Production Band on Sunday, May the 17th at 6767 Coordinated Road. Showtime 6 p.m. The doors will open at 2 p.m. for those wishing to come and get a free blood pressure reading. Admission $50. Dr. Lenny Aladdin will be there to address health awareness. Food and drinks will be on sale. For information, call Pete Douglas 438-85-6108 or visit the St. Lucia Cultural Association Facebook page. This is a CJLO Radio co-production.
What is this? Where am I, man?
Electric Messiah, Thursdays, 8 p.m. on CJLO 6, Jesus and Satan's favorite metal show.
Hey, it's Taviosha. You're listening to CJLO.
That's right, 6-9. We back at it again with Noah Tendadue, bro, the man of the hour, a.k.a. our very first movie director, man. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling even more like hyped now that I've like now I'm in a groove.
You're in the groove?
You know? I'm in the groove of the come up.
That's what's up, bro. We all on the come up at the end of the day, bro. So it's my favorite part of the episode, bro. The quote of the day, bro. Y'all already know how this works. Everyone can say whatever they feel like. It can be motivational, it can be crazy, it can be stupid. We've had all three. So let me ask you this, Noah. What is the quote of the day?
Okay, so I would say that we've been on a bit more of a motivational sort of like story type of like vibe for this episode. So I want to give a motivational quote. And the quote that I'm going to give is be ambitious, think big, dream big, and opportunities will come your way. I promise you that.
That's what's up. But you know what? That's very true. When one door closes, another one opens, for real.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's been with us too. Like, honestly, like, we've had so many times where just people would just say no, or opportunities would just, like, go away. But you know what? That doesn't mean it's over. You know, it's just gotta keep going. You just gotta keep pushing. But yo, let's talk more about this movie. We got, like, 10 minutes left already.
Oh my
bro
gosh.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh yes.
So
yes, it does.
We'll do a little bit of a lightning round. So let's talk about the movie in general, like the overall vibes and the inspiration. So what was like your primary influence or inspiration coming with this movie?
Yeah, so in terms of like narratively speaking, like I'm not talking visual or anything like that, but just as far as like the story goes, the way you can think of the story is you can think of it as like, and these are also our inspirations, and if you want, I can explain why. But I would think of it as a big mashup of Mid-90s by Jonah Hill. Right?
That's a good film.
It's also a mashup of Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee.
Okay, shit.
Yeah, so it's all those three, those two, along with another more, it's a little bit more like you have to have watched it, but it's called Be Kind, Rewind.
It has
Jack Black in it and Mos Def. So,
damn.
Yeah. So those are like the two main actors of that movie. And it's a really cool, it's a little bit more literally an inspiration because it's like they're like a film store and all of this. But like it was like they're trying to save filmmaking in their little city of Kansas. It's like it's a fun, cute story. But I would say those are like the three big inspirations as far as like, you know, mid-90s for like its element of like growing up, you know, kids growing up, doing their own thing and, you know, being a little bit anti-establishment in their own way. Be Kind Rewind in terms of like the whole like aspect of filmmaking and like how it's a tribute to filmmaking in some way, and it's also like mockumentary in that kind of way, same way the film is. And then Do the Right Thing, because it's just such a community movie, right? Like Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee is just the story about the street in New York, right, where like just a bunch of things are happening and it, you fought like all the different communities that are there, which is almost mirroring a little bit how Laval does it, you know, because it's so multicultural. And, I would say those are the three main inspirations, narratively.
Narratively? Yeah. What about visually speaking? Was it you who also, like constructed the shots, too? Like, who also, like, directed the shots?
Yeah, so I have, like, I had my own ideas, right, of, like, certain things that had to get done. And I won't, you know, say any spoilers, but I had some shot ideas about different parts of the story. But I would say, like, them, like as far as visuals are concerned, I give my credit to Oscar Sarkar, our director of photography, who essentially, like, as a director of photography, his job was to handle everything visual and technical in terms of, like, camera recording production. So, you know, he was telling me we had to get things that I never even heard existed before.
Damn.
Cardellini clamps. I'm like, what even is this? But, like, that's why you need a professional to kind of do these like these little technical jobs for you and design a shot list that is representative of your vision. And it's this thing we worked on together. But I think he was in his inspirations, he was very inspired by Edgar Wright, who, you know, just in terms of like different elements that are a little bit more goofy and comedic, but then also... I'm forgetting that name. What's the name of that guy? Wes Anderson. But, like,
yeah.
His early movies. But, like, not the kind of symmetry stuff. Like, you'd think of the symmetry. But there's, like, other parts of his movies that I didn't even notice until Oscar brought it up. But it was, like, these realistic sort of, like, moments in the film that are very, like, inspired by that kind of visual style. Yeah. And I would say, yeah. Oh, yes, you want another, like, inspiration? This is, like, an unofficial inspiration for the movie.
Shoot me
and it's kind of, like, this might be, like, huge, okay? But, like, Did you guys as kids watch Over the Hedge?
Yeah.
Okay, so like Over the Hedge is like my spirit movie, like to Laval le film. Like every time, like I actually listen to the Over the Hedge soundtrack when I'm like hyped about the movie, and I'm like thinking, like, wait, when I'm talking to, there's someone making. Yeah, you have to play just like anything. You know what you have to play? You could play if you could play a song from the soundtrack. You could play Rockin' the Suburbs.
Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's called Rockin' the Suburbs. That's the name of the song, and it plays like during the. That's kind of like
exactly which one it is.
It's amazing, and I don't know, man. Like that's just like my like. Oh, that sounds amazing. It's amazing, and it's kind of just what they're doing. They're
William
rocking the
Shatner's
suburbs.
In this.
Yeah, it's, like that's what I mean, though. But it's one of these like whole, because I think the movie also has some. Coming of age, like early, like where I grew up in, right? These early 2000s animation movies.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
No, honestly, I feel like it's really cool. It's just like such a great overall vibe in general. I think it's just such a, it's a movie that's gonna be there for the good vibes, the good plot, the great direction, even just like good cinematography, which I love personally. I think cinematography is always like,
that's Oscar's department. That's why I give all my praise to him for that, you know.
So besides this movie, because we're almost out of time, we got another like 5 minutes, but let me ask you this, a few more questions. Is there like, besides this film, what's your next film? What's next for you? Is there a film that you want to direct, like a specific genre?
I can give you an answer, but I would be, oh my god, wait. Rockin' the Suburbs. Oh, that's amazing. But, okay, sorry. There's, I
we
can tell
shit,
you.
Loki, though.
Yeah, I know, I heard it coming. I was like, wait a minute, like, this is the best part. But I never thought I would sing that song live on air.
That's fine, you can do that.
Yeah.
I forgot about the
But basically, yeah, no, I could tell you like what I like, my personal, but I think it would be a lie because I've always found myself making stuff that are not representative of necessarily what I like, and I'm finding what I like within it, right? Like, let's say When Love Sits Still is a romance drama film, and I have not, I didn't think I would ever make a romance drama tragedy type of film, and yet I find myself doing this. I never thought I'd be making a film about Laval. And yet I'm doing this. So I think the world is going to kind of take me in the way it wants for me. I do believe in like kind of like it kind of it makes its own way. You have a part to play in that. But I think part of it is also just not predestined, but it works its way out on its own.
Life,
and you can't force
life.
It to.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly. Because yeah. You know what, bro? If you force.
You have to keep having fun.
Dude, you know what? There's a saying. I remember my teacher told me this. I don't know why he told me this, but it was weird. But it makes sense. If you force a fart, it's probably just crap.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go. That's
like
quote.
He was fired too. That's the worst part.
Straight after the quote, they were just like disappointed.
I didn't see him for a while too. It was weird. Apparently, he wasn't even a teacher. No, I'm joking. No, honestly, man, it's been some really cool stuff. I feel like honestly, it's like, I don't even know how to explain, but you're so right. Like, it just, things just play out. You can't, like, even if it's destiny, it's not even, like.
Do you want to know the funniest thing?
Tell me.
Like, in terms of things playing out, do you guys want to know how I got this opportunity from Media Communautaire Lavalois? This is going to sound crazy. So, I only work one day a week at this part-time, right, at this restaurant called Portovino Laval, which was the food on that first day. If you remember the beginning of the episode, the other day was from Portovino Laval. So, shout out to them.
That was amazing.
So, on Sunday mornings, they have a brunch there, which I absolutely recommend. It's not an advertisement, I swear. and basically, I work the brunch there on Sunday mornings. So, catch me on Sunday morning brunch. And the guy who was flipping omelets there knew the Alberto, the director general of Media Communautaire Lavalois, and he was like, I'm looking for somebody who works in the cinema industry to make a movie for me. And I thought this was going to be just some other commercial job. Here it is, quick. Not at all. And now I find myself 3 years later, and for another 2 years, like on this huge, biggest opportunity in my life.
Crazy.
All from a guy who flipped omelets with me. So like, that's a bit weird, right? Like it wasn't even through the 3 previous years of experience in the media industry that I was able to get my biggest opportunity, but rather from something I was doing, like, yes, okay, it's a part-time job, but I'm also doing it for fun. Like, I love the place. I've been there for a long time, and I actually have a lot of respect for the people that work there and manage the place. And so It goes to show, man, the opportunities just kind of come from anywhere. You have no idea where it's going to come from.
It's God's plan, bro.
It's God's plan.
I'm not even religious, but it's God's plan.
Yeah, that's the, I would be religious for this kind of thing. You know, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's, yeah, a bit freaky.
It is a bit. Well, you know what? I feel like things happen for a reason. There's a reason for everything. And I think, honestly, man, this is your calling, bro. I feel like you're so comfortable with what you're doing, and it shows, because you know what? It's going to be an amazing film. I've seen your work. I've seen all the projects we've done in school. I've seen you've had a whole auditorium for your project. I remember
that was fun. That was cool. You remember that?
You impressed so many people, and me included, bro. It was an amazing thing. You put so much hard work into it, and you know what? It's going to pay off. Can't wait for you to just direct the craziest movie ever with whichever actor you get one day. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome. Do you have an actor you want to work with specifically?
Man, I have to pay my respects to the recently deceased David Lynch. I have him tattooed here on my arm. If I can bring him back, like, in a, you know, Frankenstein way and work with him, like, I would love that. But also, that would be terrifying. But, like, you know,
maybe
he might come in with some crazy insights. But if ever I can work with anyone who's worked with David Lynch, I would be so beyond the moon, because I would, like, love to meet that man in some way. And maybe I'll meet him at the end of this life and in the next one, you know? I don't know.
That's honestly great. But you know what? Speaking of the end, bro, we are officially out of time, man. Thank you so much for pulling up to our studio, bro. Be sure to check out Laval de Femme when it comes out next summer, 2027. Is that correct?
Exactly. And if you want to find